So I'm filling in for David this morning, and as I was thinking a couple of weeks ago when he asked me to fill in for him, you know, what might I talk about, I was actually flipping through, do you ever keep in your Bible, do you ever keep like little pieces of paper, notes, or whatever you might want to keep or look at later or whatever? I even have some crazy little things. I probably don't have it here, but I have this little, you know, like, see this little face? It's an ugly-looking little face. I shouldn't say ugly-looking face. This was what one of my daughters drew like 10 years ago, but it was just sitting there, and I threw it in my, just stuff like that that you have sitting in your Bible. Well, I was flipping through. I've got some other funny pictures if you want to see them afterwards, too. When we were at church and the kids were really young and drawing. That was supposed to be Misty, by the way, if you're wondering if that really looks like her. I don't know if you can really see it, but spitting image. One of the things that I came across when I was just flipping through was a piece of paper that we used a lot with our kids growing up. And I was looking at this, and I'll explain what it is here in a moment, but when I was looking at it, I was thinking, you know, yes, we used this with our kids when we were raising them. I guess we're still kind of raising them. Some of them are still in the house. Grayson's still in the house. Kinsey, sort of. But and this still holds. And then I was thinking, you know, really, I needed to kind of look at this again and be reminded of this again. And it was about this, deciding between right and wrong. Now, unless someone has, you know, maybe a disability or something that is preventing them, you know, mentally from being able to discern right from wrong, generally speaking, everyone in the world believes that some things are right and some things are wrong. Now, they might differ on what those things are. We know that. But everyone has a sense of what is right and what is wrong. Again, we don't always agree or even how to decide what is right or wrong. But there's that sense, and it's undeniable that the concept of right and wrong, of good and evil, do exist. Have you ever heard this? It's always right to... Oh, you guys have heard that from somewhere, right? It's always right to do right, and it's always... Okay, I don't even have to... You know, and I've only been... You know, we've only been here 6 years, and that, I think, was on, like, week two that we heard that. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. Easy, right? It's easy. It's simple. Actually, it is quite simple, but it isn't always easy, right? Correct? To do right or to refrain from doing wrong. If you're here, raise your hand if you're here. I just want to make sure. Okay, so if you're here, I think you are, more than likely, there's not too much of a question as well about what our authority for right and wrong should be. What's your guess? What should be our authority on what is right and what is wrong? God, right? His word. So, we've got this all figured out. I'll give you about 40 minutes of free time before. No. But absolutely, we know as Christians that our authority for right and wrong should be God's word. And God gives us everything in his word that we need in life to be able to determine what is right and wrong. If we look at Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, God makes it pretty clear on what's right or wrong, or what happens if people want to get away from what God says is right or wrong. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe, that's kind of a big warning, right? Woe to those who call evil good. And are there people that call evil good? It is all over. Everywhere you look, it's almost like people, anything that's evil, people want to call good, at least in some place or another. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And also, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior." That's pretty clear, right? But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in how much of your behavior? All of your behavior. So, it's not really a question of who the authority is, what the authority is on deciding between right and wrong. God's made it very clear, but it isn't always easy, is it? Now, there are things that are very clear. Yep, I know this is wrong. I'm not going to go murder somebody. It's wrong. But what about just day-to-day life? Little things that pop up. Decisions you have to make, kind of quickly maybe. Things you have to do. What we say to somebody. How we react to what someone says to us. That gesture that we want to make to the driver in front of us when they cut us off. The guy on the airplane seat Friday night that got his drink and proceeded to spill it on me. How do I react to that? He didn't mean to, but it was midnight. It was late. I was grumpy. How do I react? Those kind of things, deciding between right and wrong and doing what's right, doing what's wrong. How I treat that coworker that's always on me, the boss. What do I say about them? How about this one? What I post on social media. What I like on social media, what I share on social media, or whatever else. But that's a big one, right? What I look at online, or what I watch in general. What kind of conversations do I engage in? So, as we think about deciding between right and wrong, as I was looking through this list again, I was like, man, this isn't just for kids. It's for every single one of us, every single day, as Christians, to think about and to decide between right and wrong. So, what this list is, and what it was when we were talking to the kids all growing up, was like, you know, here's a series of questions that can be pretty quick in our mind to easily, at least in most cases, to fairly easily make a decision of, should I do this or should I not? And so I thought, let's just go through that. So we'll start deciding between right and wrong. First, this is maybe the easiest one. Does the Bible say it's wrong? Pretty simple question, right? If the Bible says it's wrong, we shouldn't do it. Correct. Now, this is the key. We have to actually listen to what the Bible says. Not, well, let's use this verse right here so that it just by itself, without context, or let's kind of ignore these verses because that's not what I want to hear. I'll just use these other parts, you know, or something like that. So, does the Bible say that it's wrong? John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. His word, we've just said it, the word, God's word, everything in this book is our authority on deciding right and wrong. So it's clear. Does the Bible say it's wrong? If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I know we're all familiar with this, but we'll read it anyway. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and, what does it say? Yeah. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So, does the Bible say it's wrong? If it says it's wrong, it's wrong. And so, now we also have to realize that, and we've talked about this before, but God's word also never changes. It doesn't change for our culture. It doesn't change for another culture. It doesn't change based on the times. God's word will always be, always was, and will always be. And so his truths, what is right and what is wrong, does not change. Don't ever listen to anyone who says otherwise. It doesn't change. That's the beauty of God's word. So, next one. Would Jesus do it? Okay, who remembers the little bracelets, the WWJD bracelets? They were kind of gimmicky, I know, but the concept made sense. And the thought was, if you have this bracelet on and you see that when you're trying to think of something or you're going through a decision, you think, what would Jesus do? And this is that concept. Would Jesus do it? So if you're going through something in your daily life and you're like, wow, should I do this? Should I react this way? Should I post this? Should I like this? Just a quick question. Do you think Jesus would? 1 Peter chapter 2. 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So this very much goes along with, well, okay, we're supposed to follow the example of Jesus. Do we think? Now, it doesn't say everything that happens in our life, well, let me go find out when Jesus was on his iPhone and see if he posted this. But we get the concept, right? The example of his character and how he lived his life. Would he do this? Would he not? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Just another one that emphasizes the example that we have and how we need to live our lives. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Do you think that God's word would say be imitators of God if we couldn't be? Now, we'll never live up to the perfection of Jesus or God. We are not perfect. We fail. We are sinners. But God would not say be imitators of God unless we could imitate him and his character. Knowing that we're going to make mistakes, but striving to live like, to have the mind of Christ, to try to live like Christ, to try to exemplify the character of God. So would Jesus do it? Philippians chapter 1, another verse here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One of the things I've heard, and I really like this, always resonated with me, is when I'm thinking about my life, and I'll ask you to kind of think about it the same way. If you read this verse and you think about the decisions you make, the things you do in life, ask yourself, is this sentence true? Or should I be reading this the way I live my life? For me to live is dying. Do I put my name there? I can read Christ all day long and say, yes, that's amazing, but do I live that in the decisions I make and the things I do? For me to live is Christ. We may believe it, but are we living it? That's what it means to be thinking about what would Jesus do when we're thinking about the decisions that we make. Any questions there? Any thoughts or comments? I'll pause for a second. So if I'm understanding you correctly, yes, man was made in God's image. Absolutely. We are not, let's make clear, we are definitely not God. And hopefully, when we should never even claim to be, that we are deity or that we can live just like God or just like Jesus, we are erring human beings. We have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and we will never be at that level or even strive to be at the same level of what Jesus and what God are. We are his created beings to live and to serve him. Now, the characteristics of Jesus, the characteristics of God, are what we need to strive for. Thank you. Okay. Am I being a good example? We talked about looking at what the example of Jesus was and to imitate God. Well, in my actions, am I being a good example to those around me? Whether it's my kids, my coworkers, the gentleman in the seat beside me on the airplane. In the way I react, in the way I handle myself, in the things I say, you are going, whether you think it or not, you have an influence on people. You have an influence on people. It can either be good or it can be bad. And you probably have no idea the influence you have on someone. Some you might know. Some you might not. So the question is, am I being a good example? Am I being the influence that I need to be as a Christian? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. It's pretty clear, right? Pretty clear on how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and give you all the glory for being a good person. Right? No. You got to keep reading there. Yes. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. All should be for the glory of God. Everything we do, not for our own glory, not to say, look how good that person is. All for the glory of God, but let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. So, deciding between right and wrong, am I being a good example? Would I want everyone to know that I did it? Whatever it is that you're thinking about doing, would I want everyone to know I did it? One of the things growing up, that I actually don't remember where I kind of heard this, but it was around this concept, and that being that if my actions from today were going to be on the front page of the newspaper tomorrow, would I do it? It's kind of that same concept, right? Because, well, I don't know if anybody actually reads a physical newspaper anymore. Does anyone still get a physical newspaper on there? Oh, good. I'm proud of you. But if it were online, front page, whatever it is, and it said, Diane did this, would I have done that? Or would that maybe have changed my mind because everyone's going to read about it? Everyone's going to see it. Well, if that's the case, why did I do it? And again, you might say, well, let me think of an exception. Okay, but this is kind of general practice, right? Granted, not everyone's going to see everything we do day in and day out. And sometimes things happen where it's kind of like, well, you got to understand the context. Totally understand that. There's ways you can pick holes in maybe a couple of these. But the concept being, would I want everyone to know that I took this action, said this, did this? Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says, Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not become known and come to light. This is the thing. In today's society, especially with the internet, and I'm not talking about social media here, I'm talking about what are the things we might look at because no one knows we're looking at. It's easy to hide from each other what we might be doing. But God knows. God knows, and for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. If I know, I would not want anyone to know that I'm doing this. I probably shouldn't be doing it. Now, it can be hard to overcome habits, addictions, whatever it might be, but we can with the help of each other. We can overcome those things. Again, these things in concept are simple. I don't think any of this would disagree with what we're talking about here. It's not always easy in practice, and that is understandable because we are human. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14, I always love this verse. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Would I want everyone to know I did it? Would I want it done to me? Would I want it done to me? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 31. This one probably everyone thinks about the verses that this comes back to. Would I want it done to me? Do unto others as you would have done to you. Treat others, Luke chapter 6, verse 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. This one's easy, right? This one's simple. Those neighbors you have, yeah, this is easy. that coworker that just gets on your nerves? It's easy. Just, I know, I'll just say this, I'll do this. They would want that done to them. Would I want it done to me? If I wouldn't want it done to me, maybe I shouldn't do that to somebody else or say that to somebody else. Or if I'm the one cutting somebody off in traffic, don't say anything, Misty. Never do that. She's my better driver when I'm driving. Just ask her. Would I want it done to me? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Just solidifying what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. So, it's okay to say something mean or to do something to somebody that's not very nice if they did it to you first. Or if they harmed you or hurt your feelings, it's okay to retaliate. If you have kids, did they ever retaliate? And they said, oh, he did it to me, so I just did it back. My brothers and I would destroy each other. Actually, I probably got more destroyed. Did you ever have a brother that covered your head with a big feather pillow until you're screaming because you can't breathe? Yeah, or something like that. I had that. But I was really nice to him all the time. Now, this says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. In everything. That's hard. That is difficult. But it wouldn't say it if we couldn't do it. God wouldn't say it if he didn't. Jesus wouldn't say it if we couldn't do it. Is it putting God first? Whatever I'm deciding on, whatever I'm doing, is it putting God first? Here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I guess one chapter ahead of where we are, a verse probably that we all recognize as well, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How different would life be if everyone just kept these words, seek first his kingdom. Put God first. Whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our actions at work, whether it's in our relationship with our kids and the decisions we make with our kids, put God first, trust in his word, obey him, and therefore we're going to put then others before ourselves. We're going to make better decisions, and life would be a lot more simple around the world, right? There's only a few conflicts going on around the world, and some of those using the name of God as rationale for it. So deciding between right and wrong, is it putting God first? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, again, you notice how it's all, everything, whatever you do. It's not leaving room for our interpretation of, well, in this case. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is it putting God first? All right, here's the last one. Hopefully we've got time to get through it. Might it be wrong? Now, this one is where people tend to like, okay, now you're getting beyond where, you know, I'm comfortable. The others, yeah, it's pretty obvious. What about these where it's kind of like, I just don't know. Maybe this is right. Maybe this is wrong. Is it? Or maybe, in and of itself, this isn't wrong, but it could cause a brother or sister to stumble or to sin or to think that we are living in a way that isn't right. And we say, well, oh, I don't care. That's, tell them to mind their own business. This is my life. Well, that's not what God's word says. So we'll look at some of these verses, but the question is, when it comes to deciding between right and wrong, thinking about, might it be wrong? And what we're going to find is, if we are doubting whether something is wrong or not, and we do it, it's wrong. So we got to be careful in what we do. Not, well, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but let me just hope it's right, and I'm going to go ahead and do it, and hopefully I'll be fine. That's not the way we should be making decisions in our lives. So, might it be wrong? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I can get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, some translations, or some might say the appearance of evil. That's powerful. Every form of evil, even the appearance of evil. So, if I'm about to engage in something that I might even say, hey, there's nothing wrong with this at all, but it could give the appearance of evil, and again, thinking about these other things, would I want others to know I do it? Is it being the good example? Is it being the influence? I need to think about that in the decision I'm making. Because if I'm causing a fellow brother or sister in Christ to think or to consider that, oh, this is evil, this is wrong, what are they doing? I need to consider whether I should do it or not. Does that make sense? So, abstain from every form or appearance of evil. If it even comes close to giving that appearance, and by the way, there were times in my life when I'm like, well, I'll go with this group, and I just won't drink. But hey, it's a party. I'll just go, but as long as I don't drink, I'm fine. Well, if I think about this, was that the right thing to do? I might not have been participating in the act of drinking, but I'm basically condoning everything that's going on by being there. It's the appearance of evil. Stay away from it. Abstain. That means to avoid contact, keep away from every form of evil. And it says right before that, examine everything carefully. We need to think about it. We need to think about the implications, the consequences, what it does mean to people, not mind your own business. I'm going to live my own life. Hold fast to that which is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, or worldly wisdom, or what we want to do as humans, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world. So let's read that again. The testimony of our conscience, whether we feel something is right or wrong. Okay? that in the holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, especially toward you. If we question and our conscience is saying, I don't know if this is right, don't do it. Just don't do it. It's funny, our kids sometimes, it's like, oh, I'm feeling a little sick. Well, just don't be sick. You know, those oversimplified statements. But if it's going against your conscience, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Again, whether or not it turns out, well, this probably could have been right, could have been okay, if it's going against your conscience, don't do it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Sorry, verse 18. It's like, that's the wrong verse. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. So if we have a conscience that's bothering us, does that sound honorable? That's a term I know we don't use a lot nowadays. Are you honorable? But it maybe should be. Are we ethical? Are we truthful? Are we honest? Are we doing what's right? It's kind of hard to say that we are honorable if we're going against what our conscience might be telling us is questionable or is not right. Romans chapter 14, verse 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 14, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. This is getting to what I was just talking about. Let's look at the last, and we can look at the context of what all this means. We just don't have the time right now, but the last part of that verse, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, if we are questioning if something might be wrong, to him it is unclean. It is wrong. So again, these areas where people want to say, well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say specifically you cannot whatever. If we've even gotten past these first five or six bullets, and people are still kind of saying, well, I don't see anything that says exactly you can't do this. But I'm still kind of wondering, it might be wrong. But since it doesn't say specifically, this should make it pretty clear. If it could be wrong, and you think it could be wrong, to you, it is wrong. Don't do it. Make the right decision. Also in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it's really just solidifying this. But he who doubts, what we're just talking about, if you doubt, if you wonder, he who doubts is condemned if he eats. In this case, eats something that he thinks is unclean, because his eating is not from faith. And this is the sentence here. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Can't really question that. If we're not able to do something or make a decision where we know and are confident that what we are doing is okay using the authority of God, it says we're condemned if we do that. If it is not of faith, it is sin. So, with all of this, again, we can easily we can easily know. God gives us everything we need to know to make right decisions in our lives. The harder thing is to live it day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, because boy, people get after you, don't they? You don't ever do anything to other people, but they get after you. It's tough. Those secret things that we might be doing in our lives, because no one's seeing it, it can be tough to overcome that. But we can. And if we will keep thinking about just what are some easy things? If I'm thinking about this, before I think about it, before I do it, does it touch on any of these? And it just reminds us that maybe, just maybe, it'll be a little easier day to day to decide between right and wrong. Gary, I think time for your comment, and then we'll have to end up. You're absolutely right. We need to be, you know, I even brought this up. This is what we used to go through with our kids, right? Because we would say, this is how you need to decide, right? That's exactly how we should be living our lives, as if we are a child talking to God, saying, God, with what I'm about to do, should I be doing this? Or these are questions to you. You're absolutely right. Instead of thinking, I'm an adult, I can do whatever I want. We do have free will, but that's sure not the way we should be living our lives. Okay, thank you all for your attention and the comments.